Member of our base, excuse me, a sugya of trying to work out what is the inyan of So on the mem vav on the base. So we began yesterday, and the question was, and there are practical ramifications of this, as we'll see, and as we have seen, what is the whole function, the purpose of hesped? Is it covered for the living, or is it covered for the dead? So we are on the fourth bottom line of the Gemara, right there in the middle of the line. Toshema, lo yispedu velo yikburu, quote unquote. We've already had this pasuk. This is the Navi who's predicting, with regard to various Rishoim, that they will not be zeicha to a kvura. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, lo yinicha letzadikaya. The Miyakri Bereshia. It's not comfortable for these tzaddikim to have covered at the expense of Rishoyim. In other words, if the Navi says that Rishoyim will not be zeicher to a kvura and a hesped, doesn't that demonstrate for us that the hesped is all about the dead person? That's what the Gemara sounds like. That's what the Gemara is trying to bring a proof. If you Navi says that the Rasha'im will not be Zeicha to Hespedim, so it sounds like what he's trying to say is that Hespedim is all about covered for the mace, and you don't deserve that covered. To which the Gemara is saying, no, it's not a proof. Because it could be that really it's covered for the Chaim, but Tzaddikim, righteous people, are not interested in having covered about dead people who are Rasha'im. You're right, it's a covered, it's a consolation, it's a comfort for the live people. But that's only at least when the person who died was also a righteous person. But live people are not interested in getting covered concerning a Rasha. Toshema, this is another pasuk now in Yirmiyahu. B'shaloim tomus. The Navi is saying that you will die in peace. U'b'misreifos avoisecho hamolochim harishonim. Asher hoyu lefonecho, kein yisrufu lecho, v'ava ovoin yispedu loch. This was said, as Rashi tells us, it's the very last Rashi on the page, L'tzidkiyahu ne'emar. Tzidkiyahu was the very last king, melech, the last melech of Klal Yisrael, and he was clearly told, v'ava ovoin yispedu loch. So there was a prediction that he's going to be zeicher to a hesped. Now, if you tell somebody that when you die there will be a hesped, again, isn't that a proof once again that the inyan of a hesped is a covered for the mace? So that's what you're telling this person. You should know when you die you will be zecher to the covered. But if it's a covered for the live for the live people, then why would you need to tell Tzidkiyahu? It's got nothing to do with him. Says the Gemara, V'yi Omret, if you say Mishum Yikra Dechaya, we're now on the last line. If you tell me that it's all about covered for the live people, my nafkemina question mark. What's the nafkemina? Why would you need to tell Tzidkiyahu that it's going to be hespedim? So what are you telling me? That the Klal Yisrael are going to have a covered? Okay, very nice. What's that got to do with me? Says the Gemara. No, hochi kamar lei. What the Navi was telling him was liyakru b'chol Yisrael ki heichid misyakru b'avosoch. What they're telling you is that you're right, the hespedim might not be for your covered, but you should know that Klal Yisrael will be mischabed is a compliment, it is a praise for Tzidkiyahu, even though the hespedim are not done for his covered. But nonetheless, we're saying that Klal Yisrael will receive covered on your basis, just like they received covered from your illustrious fathers. And therefore, ultimately, it is a covered. It is a covered for Tzidkiyahu that Klal Yisrael will be proud, as it were, to be associated with Tzidkiyahu. Top line. Toshima, another pasuk in Tehillim. Nivze be'einov nim'as. Now, this is a very fascinating Gemara because it has an important halachic ramification as well on a different topic. Toshima, nivze be'einov nim'as. Literally translated, somebody who is bozui, disgraced in his eyes, nimas is indeed disgraced. So who is this a reference to? Ze Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda was a tzaddik yisoid olam, a tremendous tzaddik, but his father was absolutely not. His father was a rasha. His father, if I'm not mistaken, was who, sorry?
Achaz.
Was Ochoz, correct.
Achaz.
Ochoz was a rasha, but his son Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik. When Ochoz passed away, what happened? Zeh Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda shegirer atzamois oviv. He dragged the bones of his father al mito shel chavolim on a bed of ropes. On a bed of ropes, which was considered to be a tremendous bizoyin. Oh, Reb Nachum's back with us. Your camera's working, all okay? The mishka fine, all good. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech drags his father in a very, very degrading way on a mito shel chavolim. What does that mean on a mito shel chavolim, on a bed of ropes, which is considered to be a tremendous bizoyin? Now, as mentioned, this has another halachic ramification, which Rashi will deal with in a second, and that is what happened to the mitzvah of Kibud Av. It's true, Ochoz was a rasha, but is there still a mitzvah of Kibud Av? So we'll put that aside for a moment. Rashi will deal with that. But either way, it's quite clear that the reason why Chizkiyahu HaMelech did this, l'chayra, was because his father was a rasha, and his father did not deserve any kavod at all. To the contrary, he deserved to be having a bezoyin. But again, that only makes sense if the hesped and the kavura all revolves around the kavod of the dead. So then you can say that the reason why he dragged him on a bed of ropes is not to give him kavod, and to the contrary, to give him a bezoyin. But if the union of the hesped and the levaya and the kavur and everything is all about kavod for the chayim, so who is the one being disgraced over here? Look at the Gemara. V'yi mishum yakra d'chaya, my taima. If there's spadim and everything is all about kavod for the mace, so what's the point of doing a bizoya into the dead body of Ochoz? That'll only achieve anything if the whole function of the hesped and the kvura was covered for the dead. Well, then you can say that's why Chizkiyahu HaMelech was determined to do the opposite, not to give him kavod, but rather to give him a bezoyin. But that's it if it all revolves around the dead. But if it all revolves around the live people, so what was achieved by dragging his bed, dragging his bones on a bed of ropes? So the Gemara says, no, you're right. But ki heicha de tehavale kapara la'avuha. The reason why he did this was because he wanted his father to have a kapara. So his father was a rasha, and therefore he thought that if he conducts his levaya in a degrading manner, then that will be a kapara for Ochos. To which the Gemara asks, one moment, umishum kapara da'avuha. Because of the kapara for his father Ochoz, mashulei liyakra di Yisrael, are you now going to suspend the kavod of Yisrael? Remember, if you're telling me that it's all really a kavod for the live people, so if you have a dignified levaya, who is that a kavod for? The dead person or the live people? So you're telling me it may well be for the live people. It's all about having a dignified levaya that's covered for the live people. So why over here do they do a very non-dignified levaya? In order that it should be a kapara for Ochos. Well, that's all fine and well, but why should Klal Yisrael suffer? Why are Klal Yisrael now being degraded by having this very unbefitting levaya just so that Ochos should have a kapara? Umishum kapara de'avua, because of the kapara of his father Ochos, mashulei liyikra d'Yisrael. Are we going to suspend the dignity and the kavod of Klal Yisrael? And the Gemara says, yes, Klal Yisrael will be happy to do so. Yisrael gufayu, Klal Yisrael themselves, nichaluhu, they will be quite happy and comfortable, demiyachali, to be moichal yikrayu, their kavod legabe. That's what the king wants to do, and he wants his father to have a kapara, And we could be rest assured that Klal Yisrael would overlook their dignity. Now, as mentioned, there is a very important side issue over here. And that is, what happened to Kibud Av? Is there a chiyuv of Kibud Av? Now, the reason why this question is complicated is for two reasons. Firstly, is there a chiyuv of Kibud Av to a father who's a rasha? Number one. Number two, what is the chiyuv of Kibud Av after the father has passed away? Because over here, we're not talking about honoring him in his lifetime, we're talking about after his death. And also, we're talking about somebody who's a rasha. So we need to now know a very important principle. And Rashi introduces us to this principle. And that is, who else in Klal Yisrael do we have to honor? So we have to honor parents, but it's true. There are other people we have to honor. One of them is a Nasi. The prince of the Shevet has to be honored. And the Gemara tells us, we learn it from a pasuk, if somebody curses the Nasi, that's considered a terrible Avera. One shouldn't curse anybody. But if one curses the Nasi, that Avera is magnified because you're supposed to be mechabed him, and to curse him is the opposite. However, the Lashon of the pasuk is Nasi ba'amcha. Nasi ba'amcha. Nasi of your nation. Now, what does it mean, of your nation? Obviously, he's of your nation. Obviously, of your nation. What does it mean? Is it a non-Jewish Nasi? And the Gemara makes a very famous drasha, and this has far, far, far-reaching practical halachic ramifications. That, do you know what the Torah means when it says ba'amcha, of your nation? It doesn't mean he's Jewish. Obviously, he's Jewish. It means he's behaving like a Jew. Nasi ba'amcha means, when are you required to honor the Nasi? When he acts ba'amcha like a member of Klal Yisrael. But if he goes off the derech, so he's not doing ma'isa amcha, he's not behaving in a way that a Jew should behave, when he got no chiyuv to be mechabed him. The question now becomes, is that rule across the board? Does that apply to other people that you're supposed to honor, for example, your parents? And if it does apply to parents, so one can imagine this has all fascinating and sometimes tragic halachic consequences. What happens if somebody says this, and my father is irreligious? That's true. But he happens to be, never have been religious. He's a tinuk shenishba, he never knew better. We're not talking about somebody who's a Nasi of Klal Yisrael that went off the derech. He was never zeicher to Jewish education. He didn't know any better. He's a very nice, decent, upstanding person, but he doesn't keep Shabbos, but it's no fault of his own. He was never educated as such. So these are all fascinating questions. So have a look at Rashi, top two Rashis. Nivze be'einov nimos is a pasuk in Tehillim. But Tehillim it says in Chav Daled, Ksiv mi yale b'har Hashem, nechich kapayim b'var leilo v'kochoshiv namihu ha, and it also mentions this. Al mito shel chavolim derech bizoyim. Derech bizoyim. So the mito shel chavolim, which means not a proper bed, it's just like a string bed, was considered to be a bizoyim, very, very degrading. And that's how Chizkiyo took out his father, Ochos. Why? Mipnei shehaya oviv rasha. Because his father was a tremendous rasha, ubizoyu, and therefore he deliberately degraded him, le'ein koil, to the eye of everybody in public. Kedei sheyisyasru ho'achirim. In order that others should get a musa. So he did it as a public statement. Look what happens if you behave like this. This is my loichosh. He quite clearly was not concerned with his own kavod. All fine and well, you're trying to teach Klal Yisrael a lesson. It's extremely degrading for you to have to schlep out your father on a bed of ropes. No, he wasn't concerned. But what about Kvod Av? What about what happened to Kibud Av? So Rashi says a big chiddush, umipnei Kvod Av nami as well, leke lemeichash. There was nothing to be concerned about. Even though this clearly was extremely degrading, But there's nothing to be concerned about Kibbutz Av. Why? And Rashi brings the drasha we mentioned. De nasi ba'amcha ksiv. Because it says you only have to ask, honor the nasi who behaves like your nation, which means ba'oise ma'ase amcha. He does deeds of your nation, means he behaves like a Jew. So because Chizkiyahu's father, Ochaz, was not behaving like a Jew, he was a Rasha, there's no chiyuv kibud av. So nivze be'einov, now we understand what the Pasuk in Tehillim is saying. Nivze be'einov, if somebody is nivze for the lashon of bozui bizoyin, if hu atzmoi nisbaze, if he himself degrades himself, v'nimas b'fnei, how does he degrade himself? Sheloi chosh, because he doesn't seem to be concerned lichvoidoi b'makoyim kiddush Hashem. He's not interested. So if he's not interested, he degrades himself. He's not interested in Kiddush Hashem. Well, then eventually he himself will genuinely be degraded and have to suffer this very degrading levaya. Now Rashi explains the question of the Gemara. The e omrit kavod she'osim lemeis. Now, if you tell me that the whole kavod, the whole hesped and levaya and kvura that one does for a dead person, einoi shaloi. It's not for his purpose, Elo shel chayim. Rather, it's for the live people. Well, if that's the case, what do we gain by giving Ochaz a degrading levaya? My time of it, Ochi. So why did Chizkiyahu do this? Lomo bizo es hachayim. Who's he really degrading? He's degrading the live people. Again, if a dignified levaya is covered for the live people, then by doing an undignified levaya, really you are being mavazeh, the live people. So it's all fine and well to say he wanted to degrade his father, but you're degrading the live people. That was the Gemara's question. What was the Gemara's answer? It's true, but he wanted to give his father a kapara. Why should the live people have to suffer? They were prepared to be moichel, they're covered, in order that Chizkiyahu's father should get a kapara. Yes, Reb Larry.
Isn't Chizkiyahu the one who didn't want to have children, and then the Navi came to him and said, "You're making a mistake." And
Correct.
then, so you think this is tied to that? Because in other words, there's a Mida Keneged Mida in the world. So Menashe is born, and he had to suffer just like he didn't mechabit his father because of, you know, his father was a bad guy. So now he had to suffer with the child that you know was a.
Chazal don't say that, but to the contrary, here, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't know. Good point. Yeah.
I think it's in Gemara Brachos, right?
One brachas daf yud, correct. Okay, says the Gemara Toshema. So we're still on the lookout. Every proof that we've brought so far has been rejected. We'll see. Eventually, the Gemara does come to a conclusion, but at the moment, we have not come to a conclusion. Every proof that we've tried to bring, the Gemara has rejected. So we still have not yet come to a conclusion. Is the inyan of a levaya, the hespedim, the kvura, and all, is that all about covered for the live people or covered for the dead person? Says the Gemara, Toshema, Omalohen, he said to them, who's he? Rashi says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Who's Rabbeinu HaKadosh? As we know, Rabbeinu HaKadosh is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbeinu, he's the one who compiled the Mishnayos. He's the one who compiled the Mishnayos. So, Omalohem, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, as Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, told his children very, very fascinating instruction before he passed away. Al tispeduni ba'ayoris. Do not eulogize me in the small cities. Rather, only in the big cities. In other words, obviously, where there'll be a bigger crowd. Why was he instructing that he should only be eulogized in the big crowd? Says the Gemara. Ve'i omrit yikra dechaya. Once again, if you tell me it's all about honoring the live people, My nafkene mino. What does he care? If you tell me that the hespedim is all about honor for the dead person, well, then it's understandable. The bigger the crowd, the bigger the kavod it is for the dead person. If you have 1,000 people at the levaya and at the hespedim, obviously that's more kavod for the mace than if just 3 people show up. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly was requesting that he should have a big levaya. To not say the hespedim in the small cities, rather in the big cities. It's all about kavod for the mace. So then I understand. He clearly was requesting he should have a very dignified levaya. But if it's all about kavod for the chayim, so why in the world would Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi care whether the levaya is big or not big? Answers the Gemara, Kosovar, because he held Lisyakru be'Yisrael tfei. He held that no, it's true. I'm not interested in my own kavod, and the levaya is not a kavod necessarily for the dead person. It's for the live people. But he thought exactly: the bigger the crowd, that itself is a kavod for who? For the live people as well. If it's all about having a dignified levaya, so a big crowd is not necessarily only a kavod for the dead, it's about kavod for the live people, and that's what he was requesting. So again, we don't have a proof. Once again, we've rejected the proof. Don't bring me a proof from over here that it's all about kavod for the mace. It could well be about kavod for the chayim. And he was very, very concerned that it should be a maximum size crowd, so there should be maximum kavod for the chayim. Have a look at Rashi. Al tispeduni ba'ayoros. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Siva es bonov b'ksubos. Rabbeinu HaKadosh instructed his children, this appears in Ksubos, b'hanoisei, in Perek called Hanoisei. What did he instruct them? Al tispeduni, do not eulogize me, k'shetoylichu, when you transport es aroini, my oroin. When you transport my coffin, lemokoim kvurasi, to the place of my burial, where is that? Dehu meis. He died in a place, Tzipori is up north here in Eretz Yisrael. He died in Tzipori. But kvurasi bebeis sharim, his kvura was elsewhere completely, so he knew that the levaya would have to travel. So where are you going to do the hespedim? So he said, "Al tispeduni ba'ayoros, eulogize me in the small cities shetavru aleihen that you happen to pass. Do not eulogize me there. Elo bekrochim gedolim, rather only in the big cities. De'iki inshi tuva, because there are a lot." Of people, umichnafi, me'ayorois, and even from the smaller cities, people will crowd namilos and they will come there. Nobody is going to come from the big cities to the small cities, but from the small cities, they will travel up to the big cities, make the hesped here, there'll be a maximum size crowd. So the Gemara says in conclusion, as we saw, for what purpose? For whose purpose? Not for the kavod of Rabbi Yehuda himself. Rather for the dignity of the crowd. Yes, Larry.
I think that when there's a big levaya, like for Rav Avadya Yosef, for instance, I think what, at least from my perspective, I think Klal Yisrael, or those that attend, or those that have their finger on the pulse of really what's going on, feel protected by the Gedolei HaDor that are still alive. In other words, when you see such a big to-do, when a tzaddik like that dies, it makes you realize how big they are, and you feel protected by the fact that we still have gedolim. As a matter of fact, when so many of these gedolim have died, we feel like a little lost. Because we
Right.
understand the ramification of their greatness. If
Right.
you didn't make a big levaya for a big tzaddik, you'd be like, okay, so he's like, what was he? What does that mean? That's one of the ways that we can really be reminded of how important it is to have that Gedolei HaDor living with us.
Correct. And that's why the Gemara warns us, as we saw yesterday, if somebody is not nispeid kahalacha, so you don't give a spade in Kamosh Tzarich, then what are you trying to demonstrate? Yeah, so no, this godler is gone. We can manage just fine without him. That's why it's considered so severe.
Would you say that Rav Aaron Leib Steinman didn't hold by this Gemara? That he didn't feel like the Hespedim was for the Kol Yisrael?
It's a very, very good question. It's a very, very good question. I was looking after the show yesterday. I did look into the subject a little bit. It's very, very fascinating. The bottom line is there's a huge machlokes. But ultimately, most hold that yes, you do have to go and give kavod. Rav Steinman himself, I was there at the Levaya. There were 500,000 people there. I was there at Ravad Yosef's Levaya. They say that was the biggest ever. There were close to 1 million people, and there would have been more. It just happens to be that he died about lunchtime, and they wanted the Levaya to be that day. But Ravad Yosef had connections all over the world, and they said, had the Levaya been the next day, then rest assured, thousands and thousands more would have come in from countries like Mexico and Brazil and other very strong Sephardic communities. But it wasn't. It was that night I was there, the Levaya. It was a colossal. I was there, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Levaya. It was 500,000 people, maybe more. They said, well, maybe 600, 700,000 people. Reb Shach's Levaya, Reb Mechulhuda's Levaya, Reb Eliashiv's Levaya. Yeah, you
Rebbe,
can't hide it probably.
what goes through you that you feel some chiyuv to go to all these big levayas?
Kavod HaTorah, number one, and also Hakaras HaTov. Kavod HaTorah and Hakaras HaTov. People that you felt guided the door, and therefore, even if I didn't have a personal connection with any of these Gedolim, even though I happened to see them all, but I didn't have any personal connection whatsoever with them, but ultimately, directly or indirectly, they impact your lives, either just by their very presence, as you said, they protect the door. It was very, very frightening. When Chaim Kanievsky passed away, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago on Purim, I think it was like 3 or 4 days later, there was a huge terrorist attack just outside Bnei Brak. And it was a big shake-up for everybody. So, as it happens to be, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who wrote several Sfarim, but his main work, his most famous work, is called Derech Emunah, which has nothing to do with Emunah. It's halachas and all the, it's a six-volume, one, two, three, four, five-volume work on all the halachas of mitzvahs that are to do with Eretz Yisrael, like Trumas and Maaseros and Bikurim and Shmita. So when I learned the halachas of Shmita, I actually studied them with a chavrusa for 2 years. I learned the sugyas of Shmita leading up to the past Shmita, and the main work, the classic, literally textbook work, was Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Sefer, which means again, even if you don't have personal connection, but I learned these halachas, I used his sefer, I had a tremendous, tremendous Hakaras HaTov. I don't know if any of you have heard of the great Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Segal, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha, who's a tremendous tzaddik. If you just see a picture of him, he looks like a malach. My father actually took me to see him on the day of my bar mitzvah and get a bracha from him. So I heard that Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Segal on the Yahrzeit, on the yard site of various Gedolei Yisrael, he used to learn from their Sfarim as Hakaras HaTov. He felt Hakaras HaTov. He said, I've learned this Sefer many times and I've gained immeasurably from it. So on the yard site of the Ramchal, he was particular to learn from the Sefer as an act of Hakaras HaTov to do what he could to. Or maybe he learned Mishnayos on the yard site, etc. He felt, even though obviously he never met the Ramchal, but he felt Hakaras HaTov. So when one goes to a Levaya Gadol Yisrael, it's Kavod HaTorah and also Hakaras HaTov.
Do you think it's a fair statement to say that the amount of Gedolei Hador has diminished recently, or we're just
Yes.
or just I'm just not aware of how many
No, no, no,
hidden.
no. You're 100% right. It's a fact that in the last 10 years, several Gedolei Yisrael, many of whom were over 100 years old, by the way, passed away. Most
You know what I was?
recently,
Yeah.
Rav Gershon Edelstein, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ponovich, who died shortly after his 100th birthday. Very famously, he was in hospital, still giving a shiur. In fact, he passed away with a pen in his hand, writing notes for his next shiur. So he passed away, and then Rav Eliashiv passed away over the age of 100. Rav Steinman was over 100. Rav Vosner, I was there at that Levaya, passed away at the age over 100. Ravad Yosef was not 100, he was in his 90s. Several Gedolei Yisrael, yes, have passed away recently, especially very,
So
very.
here's my crazy cheshbon. For whatever reason, October 7th had to happen. I don't know how and why, but maybe Hashem was like, the Gedolei Hador have to be gone. They're protecting the door right now. So if I'm going to bring this, it's a bizayon that I would do this while these protectors of Klal Yisrael are still here.
So
So I have to, I have to.
the Chazon Ish said in similar vein that the great Reb Baruch Be'er, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, and Reb Shimon Shkop, the Rosh Yeshiva of Grodno, they both passed away in 1939.
And the Chofetz Chaim in 33 and
Right.
34.
So these Gedolei Yisrael said, the Chazon Ish and others said that as long as they were alive, the Holocaust could never have happened because their very presence would have been a shmirah for the Dor, and when they were taken from us, there was a level of shmirah that was removed, and the Holocaust broke out. Okay, so obviously that's not something that we can state, but the Chazon Ish said he felt it, he knew it. So Chazon Ish is the Chazon Ish. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Amitz Hashem, we'll resume tomorrow, all being well.